It's all about the angle. I tried it before and it worked. I'll do it later. So, we've been on a journey together. We've actually been, as a church, travelling along with Abraham, if you like, going from Ur to Canaan, from here to there. We're all on a journey. We're travelling. Question is, how far are you travelling and how are you going on your journey? You seen any changes in your own life in the terrain as you've been over the hills and down the valleys? And how's it going? I've been moving from a place of security to a place of unknown. You know, walking on the water. I'm not in control anymore, especially when I'm on water. That's out of my realm. I had a dream the other night, actually. Woke up, I was tense, I was hanging on. I was dreaming I was on a big cruise, a big ship. Never been on one, but I was standing in the bridge, you know, and I'm hanging on for grim death because the captain is a nutter. He's driving. We're going down this little channel and he's got the thing revved out to the max and it's taking corners and everybody on the ship's hanging on for grim death. And there's other little smaller boats on the river and he's just cleaning them up like, bang, we're going to hit this thing. And bang, sure enough, we did. And it's gone off in, you know. And I woke up. I was like, oh my goodness, what was that about? It wasn't about kayaking. If it was a kayak on the river, it would have got smashed. For me, it was like, Glenn, you're a little bit like that guy. You're in charge of a liner, big liner, not a speedboat. I'm a speedboat person. I drive and I take corners real fast, and big liners aren't meant to do that. It's just, we got out into the ocean and it was still, it was quiet. And that's where we're going. It's just calm down, stop rushing everything. It's going to be okay. I actually took that thought with me to a conference on Thursday, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go on. But we've been on this journey, and I honestly believe God's been shifting us, maybe from a spiritual, you know, sin nature, to a spiritual state. You know, that's the journey we're on, from death to life. God's moving us. He's taking us from here to there. It's a journey. It's never still. It's never just stopped. Most journeys continue. Maybe it's a journey from little bit of faith to greater faith, growing our faith. What I've discovered, hopefully what we've all discovered as we've done this journey, is that the heart of God is for us on this journey. He's not against us. He's like, come on, come with me. Keep up. Let's walk together. Last week I read this psalm, and I just think it's a beautiful image of a father, Father God, a good, good father, holding our hands as we walk along. Directing our steps. The Father knows the way. And the child doesn't have to worry about that. Just has to keep in step with the Father. And even though the child stumbles, they don't fall down and skin their knees and make their face all bleeding, because the Father has them by the hand. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. And we saw that this play out in the life of Abraham. This guy, Abraham, didn't fully know God like we expect him to when he left Ur. But as a child, he progressed in his faith. He grew. He learned to trust God along the journey. He got some things wrong. He stumbled big time. Twice he told lies about his wife being his sister to save his own neck. God made him a promise that he's going to become a great nation, and so he thought, God's having trouble, you know, giving me a son. I'm going to help out. And he slept with Hagar and caused major problems. He remarried after Sarah's death because God said that he'd be father of many nations. Stuart reminded us of that. He kept taking things into his own hand, kept thinking, I can fix this problem. And it wasn't his problem to fix. It was the journey of faith. And what he was required to do was just trust God. God's got this. So God held him by the hand and he led him into the promised land. And I find that assuring. I find that assuring to know that God's in this with us, that we're in a relationship with God the Father and he treats us like his children. He treats us like his children. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature in our faith. Wants us to keep in step with him, not race off in front. But it's assuring to know that, you know, his love for us is just beyond words. You know, some of us don't have children, but for those who do, you know, to ask you to describe how much do you love your child, it'd be hard to explain, you know, like to give a verb to describe how much, like, lot, you know, it doesn't really describe how much does it? There's a light burning somewhere, candle burning. So how much does God love us? You know, the words really can't express it. Enough to die for us. To sacrifice his own life for us. I mean, I don't know if I would have that much love for my children. Really? You know, I can say that they're not here. He blesses his children as a father does. He wants to provide, he wants to protect, bring them in when they hurt and give us wisdom, direct us. He's a good, good father. And when we fall, he takes us by the hand, he helps us up and he puts us back on this path that he's got planned for us. It's a good plan. And we keep wandering off as kids do. No, 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 this way. And he brings us back and puts us on in the right path. He provides for us. We read that last week. He has a plan for our life. So can I share a story about God's provision and his planning that was beyond my planning this week? I went into the Rhodes. There was a conference. We have to do certain things to be an endorsed minister. And you attend these, you know, they're not programs, they're really good things to do. They're for the minister's health and all that sort of stuff. So this guy was talking about contemplation and how we grow and rest and all those sorts of things. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. But in the back of my mind, I had a conversation that I wanted to have with a certain person about the block of land, a guy who's on the property trust. This guy, as you imagine, was busy talking to lots of other people. I was talking to one guy earlier on, good mate of mine, and he was telling me about a plan that they've got for a $3 million proposal that they're taking to the property trust. And so those sorts of discussions were being held with this guy, and I sort of waited. I don't like sort of talking business in front of other people, you know, like It's just a bit awkward. So I was waiting my turn, really, and my turn never come. I didn't get an opportunity to talk to this guy. He pointed to me as I was walking. He said, "I'll catch up with you later." And I'm like, "Yeah, no worries." And we never did, you know. I'm a cheapskate, so I don't park in the paid parking. I'm in the break, I'm out there trying to find another parking spot. So I'm missing out on all these opportunities because I'm a cheapskate, but I get that from someone. So anyway, look, the end of the day, I was virtually the last to leave. I was waiting around chatting, and I thought, oh, well, I'll catch up with him later. So, you know, the image of, don't worry, God's got this. Don't try and be the speedboat, just be the ocean liner and let God direct. It's fine. Okay, so that was that morning. And so I got into the lift, pressed the button. It's only one floor, so a very short lift, but there's no stairs. One floor to the ground. And, you know, I'd done about three or four times that day, and it only takes a couple of seconds. So when the door opened, I got back out and looked around. I thought, I couldn't work out where I was. So I got back in the lift. I hadn't moved. I was still on the same floor, but another guy got in. Guy I didn't know, didn't recognise. I knew he was part of the Churches of Christ. I've seen him, you know, in circles. Didn't know his name, didn't know who he was. And he got into the lift and I said, it was a good day, chat. Where are you going? He said, I'm going back home, going to catch the train to Penrith. I said, oh, I'm going that way. I don't get a Penrith from Rhodes, but I thought, oh, I'll take him home. So jumps in the car on the way down the road. Where are you from? Londonderry, blah, blah, blah. You know, how's it going? Good, good. Where are you from? Blaxland. Good. You know, chit-chat. Get to the point, Glenn, right? Okay. So this guy's like, I said, oh, yeah, we're thinking about buying a block of land. You know, it's going to be a massive step for us and this and that, and we're not sure, you know, if we can get it. You know, I've spoken to the property trust and didn't get a very good feeling from them that we could repay the loan. They just didn't think that we're a big enough church. And I told him the story and he said, you know what, I'm on the property trust. I went, really? So, I told him our plans, told him, you know, we've been in Londonderry for a long time and, you know, our plan for staying in Londonderry and ministering and all that sort of stuff. And he said, leave it with me. I'll get you into this meeting that you need to be in and you can present your plan and we'll go from there. I said, oh, I don't know if I'll be... He said, mate, don't worry about it, I'll walk you through it. So this was a God thing for me. I'm just like, whoa, okay. I could have tried to manipulate a time with this particular guy who's no longer on the property trust, but I know him, but this guy was, and he's sitting in the car stuck in me. So I took him all the way from there to Blaxland, because that's even further. So there you go. I honestly believe that God's leading us and directing us, that we don't have to worry. We don't need to panic about this. I honestly believe that. And I was talking to him about our ideas of what we could do and what the land, you know, what we could do with it. And I started thinking about that and the possibilities and all that sort of stuff. And I'm sure that, you know, when Abraham was told that he was going into the promised land, that he had a vision of what it would be like. Promised land, you know, this is Ur, but this will be the promised land. What would it be like? And I don't think there's anything wrong with having this big vision of what we can achieve. And I'll be talking about some of the ideas we have at the AGM. So heads up, at the AGM, we need to. I'll be putting a proposal for you to vote on at the AGM. And hopefully you've had a month to think about it, along with some of the other proposals. You need to elect new elders and all that sort of stuff. So you've got 2 weeks to think about that. It's 2 weeks? 3 weeks. Mike's not here to ticked all the boxes because you have to have a certain, you have to have been given 3 weeks' notice before the AGM. So you've received notice, right? There you go. You know, and this guy was saying, you know, you need to present a vision for us and all of that. And I'm like, whoa, this is, you know, I'm not sure about all that. Because last week I talked about just doing one step at a time and not racing off ahead and just being led by God. And I don't want to paint this beautiful big image and it not be of God. So I'm thinking about our next step. And I want to talk about that today. What would it look like for us to take the next step? I mean, I have an image, I guess, of what we want to achieve, and it's not just a basic hall. You know, we don't need another hall in Londonderry. We need a place that is a well where people gather and are ministered to and their thirst is quenched. You know, it's got to be practical. Something like that. So I don't know what's in your mind for the block of land or if you thought about it or not, but we're not going to replicate another square hall, if you know what I mean. Sure, it'll be a place to worship, but it'll be much more than that. So the next step for me, and you know, when Abraham was about to leave, he would have had to have thought about what this is going to cost him. What's the cost from leave from here and go to there? And I was reading these. I was thinking about the cost of what it cost Abraham to leave, and I want to read this passage to you. It's what Jesus talks about when he says, "I want you to count the cost of being a disciple of mine." Counting the cost, and I think it's really relevant for us actually. This next step, before we head off on the journey. Jesus gives some really good advice about counting the cost. So if you've got your Bible, it's Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. He says, a large crowd was following Jesus. And he turned around and he said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father and your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. I mean, his teaching is hard. It's harsh. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before you run out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. And they would say, there's a person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Well, what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against them? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything that you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, then how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown away. Everyone who with ears to hear should listen and understand. Jesus certainly unsettled some people. But this is the message that I spoke about last week. When Jesus says to seek first the kingdom of God, I think this is what he's saying. You can't put the kingdom second. Doesn't work that. It's not in that order. The kingdom of God comes first above everything else. And by comparison, he says, even I want you to hate your parents compared to me. So before we say, yeah, you know, building a hall over there, that sounds great. Or becoming a Christian, becoming a disciple of Jesus, that sounds great. Jesus saying, I want you to really think about this. Don't start this journey without thinking about what it's going to cost you. It will involve cost. You have to be willing to carry your own cross. I'm never sure whether you've thought about what that looks like, or is what does it mean to carry your own cross? Basically, what I think it means is it's very similar to a phrase we use, digging your own grave. And you see movies where they're forced to do it, and your mind goes to, why would you dig your own grave? That's crazy. And the point is, yeah, it's crazy. Jesus is saying you need to be willing to carry your own cross. So the image of walking down a street with a cross on your shoulder is literally saying, I'm a dead man walking. I've given up my rights. I'm willing to carry my own cross and go and be crucified on it. I mean, if you didn't want to carry a cross, they would just kill you on the spot. But to carry your own cross is an act of being submissive. No, we sung a song there, it's a holy surrender. And give up. I'm going to crucify. I'm willing to die. And that's the sort of image that Jesus is saying to these disciples who are following him around everywhere. Are you willing to die? Are you willing to give up everything that you have and follow me? Lay down your own life. Crucify the selfish, the sin nature for the sake of the kingdom. Are you willing to sacrifice? If you're not, Jesus says, don't even start. Don't begin the journey. You remember the story of the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler. Right? He had the world at his feet. Everything you would want, this guy had. And he turned up to Jesus and he said, you know, I want to be your disciple as well. And Jesus said, okay, give everything you own to the poor. And he turned away and walked away. And the disciples would have been like, are you crazy? This guy's rich. We could, you know, milk this guy. Jesus said. And he walked away sad. His priority was wrong, you see. He was more concerned about his fame and his wealth than he was the kingdom. He wasn't seeking first the kingdom. So before we say yes, before we say it all sounds great, and before we start thinking somebody else might pay for this, you know, manna from heaven, Jesus is saying, no, you need to count the cost for this. Count the cost. Be willing to sacrifice. And that's what it means, you know, becoming a kingdom citizen. We're basically saying your life doesn't belong to you anymore. I'm laying down my life and I'm being raised. I'm being born again, a new citizen of the kingdom. And so everything I have doesn't belong to me anyway. It all belongs to God. Everything I have, God provides. Different way of thinking. So it doesn't mean that we're broke. What it means is we have a father who, I used to sing a song when I was in Sunday school, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and the hills, the sun and the stars that shine. Wonderful riches, more than tongue can tell. You don't know the... Oh my goodness, what is the matter? He is my Father, so he's mine as well. We'll have to teach it to you one day. It's a great song, isn't it? It's, you know, what we're saying is, I give up my life and I become part of a son of the Father who is rich and can provide everything I need. So we're not really losing out. It's like, you know, working for the son of a farmer who struggles in the drought and then becoming a son of a king who never goes without. Complete comparison, opposite. So these are the things we need to think about in terms of counting the cost. We give up our little agenda for the sake of a kingdom. We don't miss out. These are the factors we have to consider. These are the costs, the things that we need to think about before you go ahead and make a decision in a few weeks. Do we want to go down this road? Yes. Good. No? Okay. But we need to count this cost. So here's a few things, a few questions to ask yourself, I guess, as you considering what to do here. I'm going to give you a survey, a few questions to think about, to take home, to pray about. And a few questions to ask about, you know, the direction we're going. But I don't believe the question that we should ask ourselves is, can we afford it as a family? Because this is an individual decision. Each person will go home, they'll think about this, they'll sit around the table, hopefully with their family, and talk about this and pray about it. But according to what we've read here, the reason I've gone through all of this is the question that you need to ask, I think, is not can we afford it, because that reverses the order of what we just learned. If you ask that question, you're actually saying, what can we give that's left over? That's not sacrifice. The question we should be asking is, what are we prepared to sacrifice? That's a more relevant question. What are we prepared to go without in order to make this happen? How are we prepared to go without? If you're not, that's up to you. That's between you and the Lord. But I believe the miracle that God wants to show us is not that he is going to drop $1 million from the sky and we're going to walk in one day and go, wow. I think the miracle will be that God provides for every single person, every family in the church, as they each do their thing. That the Father provides for every family, and that as you sacrifice, you'll see what God does for your family. And I believe that's the journey that we're on. I don't think this is about a building, the more I think about it. I think this is more about growing our faith. Because we all say, I believe God, I have faith. But true faith is actually saying, okay, I'm going to live this way, not just believe something. I'm actually going to trust God that he's going to do what he says. That's what Abraham did with the promise. God said it, I'm just going to believe it. So if God says, seek first the kingdom and all these other things will be taken care of, faith is seeking first the kingdom and believing God will take care of the rest. That's a step of faith. So I believe the miracle be each family watches how God provides when they make the sacrifices, and our faith will grow. See, your faith can't grow unless you act on it. And this is an opportunity, I believe, to demonstrate your faith, but also to trust, to test God on this, to see whether or not he will provide, whether he'll keep his promise. So I'm going to skip down a little bit because I want to give you something practical to think about. I've seen churches built in a number of ways. Different people go about this in different ways, and sometimes we can go about, you know, to the cash cow, and you know, the wealthy businessman comes along with a big check and writes a check, and the whole church goes, yay! Well, I reckon they got robbed of the blessing. They didn't get to journey. And it's not what I see in Scripture. I see the widow coming along with her minty, and going, you know, take that, and Jesus going, that right there, that's kingdom material. You know, he takes a little boy's lunch and he turns it into something greater. That's the kingdom miracle stuff, not the rich young ruler coming along and saying, right, how much do we need to get part of this kingdom? Tell me and I'll write a check for you. Jesus says, I don't need your money, mate. It's not about that. So this is about faith. And I want our whole church to experience this. Every single person growing together as a family. Now, I'd love to... Anyway, I'm going to do some math because I want you to think about what it might cost us. And I think we should, because Jesus is saying here, well, do the math. Count the cost. Don't pick a fight with someone who's going to smash you. That's just stupid. Don't start a building that you can't afford. So here we go. Now, I'm a pastor, not a mathematician, so my math is really good. Very simplistic, you might say, in my thinking. Do you want to hold this board? You're not a lovely assistant. Oh, my goodness. Can you just duck down a little bit? Because you're going to put people off. Don't you watch Tony Barber and Sale of the Century? Mr. Squiggle. Sorry, Steve.
I'm leaving this all alone. Yeah. Ask his wife to go out there, because she's got a broken back and hold it to you.
Yeah. Mr. What do you call him? Mr. Blackboard. Hurry up.
Put that brave up. Yeah.
So this is the thing I want you to think about. I've broken it down to how I think we can afford this. So far. it's risky. So these guys are asking for $850,000. I want you to pray about, we don't want them to hear this, I want to pray about offering them less than that, and that's going to put 50 in our bank account to actually do a demountable or start a building fund. So let's just leave it at that, right? $850. At the moment, our church is we pay $350 a week rent, and that's going to go up in a couple of months probably, because the youth uses the hall on Friday night, and the principal's not going to allow that to go on for free. So she wants $100. I'm thinking I'll give her $50. So in total, that's $400 a week rent. We pay. So what I'm thinking is that we go to Churches of Christ and say to them, we can repay a loan at $400 a week, not a problem. We just carry on doing what we're doing. we don't break a sweat. What it means is we'll need a demountable or something to live in, for a tent to live in for a period. We'll have to use it. We can't rent the shop and we can't rent this because that $400 a week is gone. When you put it in the loan calculator, that $350, $400 a week over 25 years at certain interest rate, it adds up to $350,000. That's how much we can borrow from Churches of Christ, I think, without them saying no, which means we need $500,000. So how do we get $500,000? Well, that's a good question. This is how I think we can get... If every person in the church, every wage earner in the church, gave $20 a week extra on top of the $400, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's the little boy's lunch, right? It's $20... a week. Now, I'm going to make this simple. Instead of saying $20 a week, it's actually, let's just call it $100 a month. Since if 5 weeks, we get a little bit more than that. Let's just say 100 people give $100 a week. A month. Just checking. I told you I wasn't good at maths. That's $10,000. A month, right? $10,000 a month. That's still not very much. But over a year, that's 120. I was going to give you a month off because it's December. Let's just call it $120,000. Okay, so if you times that, how many times would we need to get that to 500? Four and a bit, let's just call it 5 years. Because 5 times 120,000, 600,000, well, there you go. We just passed it in 5 years. And it gives us money to play with, 100,000. It's not unachievable. All it means is a sacrifice from every person, and it will mean sacrifice. Because we all don't have $20 laying around, spare normally, but you have to give something up. You have to sacrifice that. Now, I'm sure there's people here who honestly can't afford $20 a week. But there are other people who can afford more than that. So don't worry about it. And the other problem is, you look around, we haven't got 100 people. That's a problem as well. But I believe that we'll get to 100 people because we're going to pray 100 people in. But also, as I said before, there are some people who are prepared to pay more. So like in our family, we haven't had this discussion. We're going to have it. But this is what I'm thinking. You know, we've got now two boys working and two of us, that's $40 a week. That's $80 a week.
I'm a thinking man's model.
I knew you were up here for a reason. So there you go. It's not just 20, there's all of a sudden 80. And it's good, you know, even the kids' pocket money, I think, it's just an opportunity for us to teach kids this principle and pray together as a family. Let's use this whole thing as an opportunity to grow our faith. Now, I think that's achievable in 5 years. Now, if we doubled that, say $20 to $40, I don't want to put a limit on you. I mean, we cut that 5 years into 2.5, and in 2.5 years, you know, we start thinking, hey, you know what, this is affordable for us. Let's knock this loan on their head. Instead of being a 30-year loan, let's make it a goal each year to do $100,000 or more. It means 8 years. And that only gives us a building. But, you know, we've got to start somewhere. I think that's achievable. I think that's what I would consider giving up your lunch. Now, I reckon that's... I've thought about this. I've thought about saying to you, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go and get a job. And the money that you pay me, we can put straight into the thing. Honestly, I'm prepared to do that. The reason I don't think it's a good idea is it's almost putting the cart before the horse. It's like the building's more important than what we do, the ministry that we do. And that's putting it back to front. You know, what's more important, I think, is that we continue to minister into Londonderry and not worry about a building. That's the priority for me, not whether or not we can put a building, own a building. So, you know, I've thought about that and I'm willing to do it if you know, we can't afford it. But because I think it's that important. I think we need to own a property in Londonderry, not just be renters, temporary residents. So I'm going to give you a piece of paper. That's the question I want you to go home and think about. Are you willing to give up your lunch, Jesus said to his little boy. I thought maybe Jesus' disciples went around and collected. I was hoping they would. Have you got a bun you can... And a few people did it, but I'm pretty sure in Mark it talks about a little boy giving up his lunch. Small rolls, two fish. The question was, hey, buddy, you know your lunch. Are you prepared to give it up in order for Jesus to feed all these people? And I reckon that's the question Jesus is asking us. Are you prepared to give up $20 a week in order to feed the community of Londonderry?
See, we've actually done this before. We've done this exact same model before. I was just remembering 10 years ago when I was on the elders, we were in a little hole in Richmond and desperately needed some direction. Desperately needed a young family to come on board that's got young children and to be focused on music. And I'm sure the older people of this church will remember when we prayed about that earnestly. We prayed and prayed and prayed that we would get a young family with children that could help with the youth group, help us musically and take us and grow us. And we had nothing in the bank. We were flat out to pay the rent each week. Well, we got that prayer, the class. And 10 years later, we're still paying the class. And I think that's a really good model. This model, we've done it before, family. We've just got to commit to it again. Anyway, I'll go back to holding.
A talking blackboard holder. Let's pray together, and I'll honestly give you one of these. I'm going to leave them at the front, actually. I don't want to hand them out. If you don't want one, don't come and get one, because I need it to show Mike when he gets back what I've been up to. Poor Mike. He's literally, his last words were, and I'm not joking, do not buy property. And he was joking, and he's going to get back and his grey hair is going to turn white.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh my goodness. Or he might lose it. So, you know, if you can, if you're excited about this, then take this. Go away and think about it and pray about it and bring it back. This will give us an idea about counting the cost. If it's not affordable for us to do, then maybe this opportunity is not for us. And that's okay as well. Father, we just we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us in order to bring us into the kingdom. And we know, we've heard your word speak to us this morning, that to be part of that kingdom requires us to give up something as well, to give our own lives, to lay down our life for you. And we know that, Father, when we do this, you're with us, that you're a Father, a God who loves us and provides for us. We're not going to miss out. And so we claim that promise for ourselves, that you will provide our needs as we step out in faith. Father, we just pray that each family will use this as an opportunity this week to pray together, to make the sacrifice and to count the cost of sacrifice for them, and to see that this act of faith is actually a physical way of us growing our faith, because we want to see you work in our lives. Thank you for this church. We thank you for the generosity that they've already given over and above, as Steve said. Father, I pray that you'll continue to bless each person in this church for their generosity. But for us to think about things bigger than just ourselves and having a pastor, but Father, ministering to a whole community of people over a period of years. We want to see people saved. We want to see people come into your kingdom, and especially this town. We take this little place of Londonderry as our place and our spiritual responsibility to share the gospel. And we take that very seriously. And so we pray, Lord, that you'll open the doors for us to move forward. We pray for favour amongst the churches of Christ to get on board with us and support the loan. We pray for favour with the Anglican Church as we go to them with a proposal that maybe we pay them $100,000 a year and what we can afford. That, Father, there will be favour amongst the church and your family as well. We pray you'll give us wisdom in the next couple of weeks as we make this decision. So we pray all these things because we want to see your name glorified, and we want to see the Spirit, your Spirit, working in and amongst each one of us, growing and deepening our faith. Amen. Okay.